This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV and on our website. At the moment that Donald Trump was inaugurated on Friday, January 20th, efforts were already underway to impeach him. Coming into the office of the presidency, Trump represents an unprecedented tangle of ethics violations with his business dealings in the U.S. and around the world. The most obvious example is his hotel in Washington, D.C., that has hosted foreign and other leaders whose hotel bills could constitute payment to the president to discuss government-related business. In the history of the U.S., only two other presidents have ever been impeached, Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson. The U.S. Constitution states that a president can be impeached for, quote, treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. That's quite a high bar, but it's also vague. But even if Trump is impeached, will that derail his extremist Republican agenda that Vice President Mike Pence espouses? My guest is David Swanson. He is the campaign coordinator at RootsAction.org, one of the leading organizations that are spearheading impeachment efforts. He's also an author, activist, journalist, and radio host. He's the director of WorldBeyondWar.org, and his books include War is a Lie. He blogs at DavidSwanson.org and WarIsACrime.org, and also hosts Talk Nation Radio. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, on what basis can Mr. Trump be impeached? I understand that you're collecting signatures for a petition from the public, given that he is, you know, one of the most unpopular incoming presidents in the last 40 years. I imagine it won't be very difficult to gather signatures, but there still has to be a legal basis for impeachment, right?
There has to be a political basis for impeachment. There has to be some reason why members of the House Judiciary Committee, typically, and then of the full House, would vote to impeach, and why the Senate would vote to convict in a trial that would follow impeachment. The fact is that many presidents have seen serious efforts toward their impeachment, and some of those efforts, while unsuccessful in impeaching, have been very successful in reforming the U.S. government. I think the impeachment effort of Richard Nixon that led to his resignation, the impeachment effort of Harry Truman that led to reforms of the abuses for which the impeachment effort was launched, and these sorts of efforts create a government that begins to hold the presidency accountable. And you begin to see subpoenas used by committees with the threat of impeachment backing up the threat of subpoena. We're in a very different state now. When presidents in recent decades have been granted absolute immunity from accountability to Congress or the U.S. public. So in suggesting the impeachment of Donald Trump, we're not, you know, making some sort of childish, simplistic calculation that Trump is worse than Pence or Pence is worse than some other guy, but that the transformation of the U.S. government into one in which a president can be held accountable to the rule of law for serious abuses, not for his personal life or some other nonsense, would be so transformative that that would be a more significant change than the personality or the ideology or the party of the presidents that succeed him. And so, yes, there is a powerful case and I think you would call it a legal case because it's appealing to the highest law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, that Trump is already deserving of impeachment. And you mentioned it. There is a clause in Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution that says the president can't get any benefits from the U.S. government or any U.S. state government, you know, personal, financial gains, and President Trump already does. He has millions of dollars coming into him from tax breaks and subsidies, for example, in the state of New York alone for his buildings. He has that hotel in Washington, D.C., the old post office building being leased by Donald Trump in violation of its lease, which bars it being leased to any government official.
It's a lease from the federal government, right? I mean, that property belongs to the federal government, so he was leasing it from the federal government before he ran for president.
Yes, but in this federal government that over the decades has been made largely an imperial government where everyone is a subordinate of the president, he is the federal government, and it would now be up to him to enforce the contract that forbids the leasing of that building to him. And then you have a separate clause in Article 1 of the Constitution, Section 9, that has a similar ban on benefits from foreign governments. And so when foreign governments, as has now been happening, switch their hotel and event plans so that they can stay at and fund a Trump hotel in Washington, they are putting Trump in violation of the Constitution. Just as all the granting him of business building permits in nations abroad and all the other business interests, I mean, it's inevitable when someone has these kinds of business interests that he will be in violation of the Constitution, which is not to say you punish business people. He can keep his businesses. He just can't be president. He just can't, you know, violate the Constitution in this way. And past presidents have sold off all their assets, or they've put them in a blind trust that was truly blind. They really didn't know what was happening, and their assets consisted of a peanut farm or something smaller. This is not possible with Donald Trump. If he were to put his businesses in a blind trust, he would still see the stories of what new tower was going up and what big business was sold or bought. So he has to put everything into truly blind trust for the purpose of selling it off. But he's chosen not to do that. He's chosen not to make really any pretense at all. He's just, you know, saying his sons are going to run his businesses.
Right. Eric Trump, who is the vice president of the Trump Organization, told the New York Times that he, you know, and has basically announced publicly that they would be, the Trump Organization would donate any profits collected at Trump-owned hotels that come from foreign government guests to the U.S. Treasury. He said in an interview, "This is purely harassment for political gain, and frankly, I find it very, very sad." So how do you respond to his justification that, hey, the money wouldn't go into the pockets of Donald Trump?
Well, you can take that as encouraging, but who is going to oversee that? And what about the many, many other businesses?
It would require the Trump Organization being audited to find out if those things are being, if those monies are being donated properly. But we know how he feels, how Trump feels about audits.
Right. Audited by who? Audited by the right. Trump administration. This is not going to work. Even if you were to believe that all the money from foreign governments' stays at Trump hotels was going to go to the public treasury, you still have the problem of those foreign governments doing a favor and bringing business to those hotels. It's not just financial gain. It's any sort of business advantage constitutes an emolument in the old-fashioned word that's in the Constitution.
Now, I understand that there's a lawsuit actually being filed around this ethical violation by Lawrence Treiber, Rin Chemerinsky, a bunch of others. So that is one effort. Tell us about the effort that you are overseeing through Roots Action. Are you specifically asking House representatives, members of the House Judiciary Committee to initiate impeachment proceedings? Impeachment is one thing, a lawsuit is another thing, but these seem to be various efforts aimed at weakening the Trump presidency because of these ethical violations.
Well, I don't know if I want the Trump presidency to be weaker or stronger. I don't know exactly what those words mean, but I think that we have here an unprecedented corruption of the highest office of the land that ought to be ended immediately, and that precedent set for all the successors of President Trump. And so what we have at the new website that is already, you know, being flooded with people eager to sign the petition and help in other ways at impeachdonaldtrumpnow.org is a petition to the U.S. Congress asking that members of the House instruct the House Judiciary Committee to open an investigation into whether there should be impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump. This is the usual way in which it has been done several times in the past. And the evidence is overwhelming that there should be an investigation. But this is, you know, what you do. You open an investigation and then you declare you've found the evidence. So people who want to read more and have their concerns addressed, we have a frequently asked questions section and so forth. Go to my website, davidswanson.org. To see my take on it, but sign the petition at impeachdonaldtrumpnow.org and ask everyone else you know to do so, and we're going to build the pressure on Congress pretty quickly.
So the process by which this would work is that if the House Judiciary Committee recommends that the House take it up as a vote to begin impeachment proceedings, the House would have to pass it, and then the Senate would be the one actually conducting an impeachment trial and would be in the power to convict. However, of course, we know both, at least for now, both houses of Congress are dominated, have a majority Republicans. Are you launching this effort with an eye toward the 2018 elections where there could be a change in the political makeup of Congress?
Absolutely not. I have no interest in the Democratic Party advancing anything in any way. I think it should be taken off life support and blessed and allowed to rest in peace. Neither do I have any particular interest in attacking or benefiting the Republican Party. You know, the U.S. Constitution got almost everything wrong. You know, it's written by a bunch of aristocratic, anti-democratic slaveholders, but it got some things right. You know, most of the thing is wildly out of date. Most of the good parts are blatantly ignored as a routine, but it got this right, that there ought to be a way. And if we had a nonviolent movement going after Donald Trump and there were no impeachment provision in the U.S. Constitution, we would be fantasizing about the creation of such a thing. Here is a mechanism by which public demand can go to the most, I know it's not saying much, but the most representative of the branches of government in Washington and demand that someone's crimes and, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, as the phrase goes, be held to account. And, you know, this is something that ought to appeal to anyone in the United States with an interest in rooting out corruption. I mean, if you voted for Donald Trump because you were against insiders and against lobbyists and against somebody who puts Goldman Sachs in charge of every department and so forth, well, you ought to be as outraged as anyone right now and demanding impeachment proceedings. And if you voted against Donald Trump for the same reasons, likewise. And if you're among that larger group who really has no interest in either of these parties that had, you know, the two record-setting least popular candidates in history, and now Donald Trump has sunk lower than that in his approval ratings, you ought to want to begin holding people accountable and send a message that the next man or woman is going to be accountable to us as well.
So it's the impact of the impeachment effort that you're hoping will push things in the right direction, but you don't have any hope that members of either party will actually do the right thing. It's just an issue of how activists from the grassroots ought to and can push Congress to do something about what is very obvious.
Well, I mean, if I'm not in the prediction business, I'm in the advocacy business. But if you want a prediction, I predict that an impeachment resolution will be endorsed fairly soon and will gain significant support very soon. And if
by whom, though, who will support it?
Well, many in the public will support it, and members of the U.S. House of Representatives will support it. I'd rather not name names of the most likely, but when it happens, we'll all see it together. But, you know, the need to demand and push for what needs to be done shouldn't be derailed by the sort of defeatist expectations expectation that, oh, it won't work. You know, this is when we were weeks ago pushing a petition and emails and tweets and Facebook and other supposed nonsense to demand that Chelsea Manning have her sentence commuted and her life possibly saved. And everybody said, oh, that's hopeless. We said it might be hopeless, it might not. We're not making predictions, we're making demands. After the fact, everybody says, oh, well, of course he did that, you know, why not? Everybody knew he would do that. And that's how impeachment will look after the fact. But until it happens, it always looks, you know, very unlikely. Our job is to make it more and more likely by building the pressure, building the demand, watching the president's favorability and approval ratings sink, but also watching the public awareness grow of the crimes. And the impeachable offenses are likely to be added on, piled on in great number. We're starting with this corruption under the emoluments clauses because it is a clear violation from minute one. But here you have a president who on day one went and told the CIA, we really should have stolen all of Iraq's oil and there may be another chance to do so. It's not as if there won't be other offenses piling up.
Yeah. And also speaking of war, there were 75 people killed in Yemen as a result of drone strikes and fighting on the ground under the Trump administration on the first official day of that administration. Do you see the impeachment effort as one prong of a multi-pronged strategy aimed at the sort of status quo that we find ourselves in, that Washington, D.C. is in?
Well, I don't think everybody doing good activism should drop everything and work exclusively on impeachment. I think we need education movements and nonviolent action movements and people willing to stop pipelines. And we need building local power and global power across borders. We need all kinds of avenues, and people should put their passion and their skills where they do the most good. But I do think that something like drone murders happening under President Trump may, I honestly cannot predict, but may produce a very different result among members of the U.S. public than drone murders under President Obama did. And we may see millions of large D Democrats discovering that there is a problem with giving a single person the right to go through a list of men, women, and children and pick who to have murdered with missiles from robot airplanes or with targeting unknown suspicious individuals in the same way in foreign countries like Yemen. And there may be a new burst of outrage and resistance to that policy.
Yeah, we saw a lot of the anger against President George W. Bush for his role in pushing for wars abroad come to a standstill when Obama was doing the same thing. And those are, of course, among the main Achilles heels of the Democratic Party and those who support that party. David, give out that website one final time around where people can support the impeachment efforts.
Sure. It is impeachdonaldtrumpnow.org. And there's a great deal of information there to read, as well as the petition to sign.
We'll post a link to it from our website later today. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
David Swanson is a campaign coordinator at rootsaction.org. He's an author, activist, journalist, and radio host. He's director of worldbeyondwar.org, and his books include War is a Lie. He blogs at davidswanson.org and at warisacrime.org and hosts Talk Nation Radio. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.